The views and opinions expressed by the following program are those of the host, guest, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station or the Webster Rock Hill Ministries, its management, or other host or underwriting sponsors. Programs presented on KWRHLP are for educational and entertainment purposes only. Views which are presented are for educational purposes only and are not intended to treat, diagnose, or claim any cure of disease or condition.
Welcome to Webster Groves Health Radio. I'm your host, Matt Factor, from Factor Physical Therapy. That's located in Webster Groves at the corner of Watson and Laclede Station Road in Yorkshire Village. And I'm here with my co-host, David Factor. On Webster Groves Health Radio, we discuss health-related issues along with improving our community. For today's show, we invited on Dr. Howard Letter, who is a general and bariatric surgeon at Premier Medical Specialists. Welcome to the show, Dr. Letter.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, it's great to see you and great to finally meet you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Sure. I've been in practice offering bariatric surgery patients care since 2003. I moved to the St. Louis area a little bit over a year ago from the Twin Cities in Minneapolis area and have continued to offer bariatric surgery to my patients.
Oh, wonderful. What was it like living in Minnesota? It was pretty cold, right?
Yeah, it was definitely colder than here, no question. It was a great community. I was lucky and able to be a part of that community for many years. I feel equally privileged to be a part of the St. Louis community now.
So where's your practice located here in St. Louis?
Sure, we're just right next door to DePere Hospital in the medical office building attached to DePere Hospital.
Oh, okay. And what services does your practice offer?
Sure. Well, the majority of my care is along the lines of bariatric surgery or weight loss surgery. Additionally, I offer general surgical services, which includes mostly benign things such as hernias, gallbladders, things of this nature.
Okay.
So what all areas of the body do you treat?
Sure. I pretty much treat the abdominal cavity. Mm-hmm. And then skin, soft tissue. That pretty much narrows my focus, yes.
Okay.
And so you kind of mentioned that you do a lot of benign type of surgeries. You do hernia surgeries, gallbladder. You also do bariatric surgery. Are there specific types of surgeries within those kind of categories that you offer to your patients?
Sure. Well, bariatric surgery being my main focus, I do offer three main types of bariatric surgery. I offer a very modern option called the sleeve gastrectomy, which is an option that reduces the size of the stomach. I offer an operation that's been around for quite a long time called the gastric bypass. And then finally, a very nice option for patients called the duodenal switch. So those are the three mainstay operations in the world today in terms of bariatric surgery.
And what is the main reason someone would have a bariatric surgery for our audience?
Sure. So bariatric surgery is a surgery that's designed around weight loss. And so folks who have 100 pounds or more of weight to lose are typically the population that we offer bariatric surgery to.
Do you face a lot of insurance barriers and things like that whenever someone comes in? Is this something where someone comes into your office and they say, hey, I feel like I'm a bit overweight and this is my New Year's resolution. Dr. Letter, you're my solution and I'm going to meet all my goals now with you.
Right. Well, the focus of the surgery is health. And along those lines, it is covered by most major insurers in the Missouri and Illinois area. Along those lines, to get a little bit more specific, the insurance companies do cover it. And the reason they cover it is because they amortize or return on their investment within a couple of years in terms of a patient's health. So, for example, say someone has a serious health problem such as diabetes or high blood pressure, that costs money to treat. The insurance company recoups that money within a few years and then actually begins to make money on the procedure. So from a health standpoint, the insurance companies absolutely do cover it almost uniformly.
Can you tell us a little bit about the three main surgeries you kind of talked about? You talked about gastric bypass, and then you talked about the some type of a sleeve. Can you kind of explain that to the audience so they can try to visualize it?
Sure. So in this day and age, about 70% of bariatric surgery is the sleeve gastrectomy. There's not actually a physical sleeve involved. What we're actually doing is converting the stomach from essentially a bag, which in most humans is about 2 liters in size. So you can envision a 2 liter soda bottle to understand how much content the stomach can hold. And we're reducing it down to the size of a small banana. In fact, I prefer to think of the operation as a banana, though it is called the sleeve. So many people think that banana looks like a sleeve, obviously. Probably about 20-25% of the procedures that we offer today are the gastric bypass. Now, the gastric bypass is also a stomach reductive procedure. It reduces that 2 liters down to about an ounce. It's about a 90% reduction. And then in order to get food and drink out of that new stomach, there is a rearrangement of the intestine, or the bypass part of the gastric bypass. That is a procedure that's been the mainstay for many decades of bariatric surgery until about the last 8 or 10 years when the sleeve supplanted it. Finally, the duodenal switch, which I explain to people quite simply as a combination of the bypass and the sleeve. There are components of each of those procedures, and that's about 5 or 10% of my population chooses that option, and it is our most powerful metabolically active procedure.
So is that something where someone looks at a list and you say, okay, I can offer you surgery, you're a candidate, and then they just kind of pick between the pros and the cons? Or are you really doing the picking, and then you're saying, this is why I believe it fits your case?
Sure. Well, we try to do what's called shared decision making. And so that includes obviously my knowledge, which is medical and surgical expertise, and then the patient's preferences and desires, hopes, goals, health issues, health concerns. Some of the patients have specific anatomic concerns that we have to address. So it is very much tailored to the individual patient in a shared decision model.
Is there a different recovery time associated with each of the different surgeries?
You know, interestingly, there's really not. Each of the surgeries take anywhere from 1 to 2 hours to perform. The patients will be in the hospital for 1 to 2 nights, regardless of which surgery, and typically are back to full activity and work within 1 to 2 weeks.
Wow. Is their diet restricted after that?
After the surgery, there is a dietary set of recommendations. In the first few weeks after the surgery, we do recommend the patients to follow a slow dietary advancement. The way I explain it to my patients is that it's like a baby's stomach. You know, when a baby's born, you can't just give them a cheeseburger from day one. You have to feed them liquids and soft foods, et cetera, and advance along. But within a very short period of time, usually within 2 to 4 weeks, our patients are back on a regular diet. And our advice at that point is essentially healthy eating habits.
Interesting.
Go ahead.
I was just going to go ahead and see. So what are the steps that usually you need to take before you have like weight loss surgery? Do you have to diet first? Do you meet with a nutritionist?
Yeah. So the program that I work out of at the DePere Hospital is called My New Self. And it is a complete multidisciplinary program, and I believe a very excellent and thorough program. It includes a team of nutritionists whose specialty is in caring for our patients. So there's an entire lead up, including multiple education sessions, private visits, et cetera, with our nutritionists. We have a full-time psychologist who also plays an integral role and preparing our patients, and we also have a number of support staff to help prepare our patients. So it's quite a process. The process can last anywhere from a month all the way up to 6 months, depending on a combination of the patient's insurance requirements and the patient's specific needs leading up to the surgery in preparation.
Is there ever such a thing as emergency weight loss surgery, where you're like, this is really a more urgent case, or someone's, you know, all their, I don't know, their blood lab work is just getting worse and worse, or?
Sure. And you know, on occasion, I will get an in-hospital consult, actually, for exactly that. And the patient's usually been admitted for a problem related to their weight, heart failure or something of that nature. And in those cases, you know, we do try to expedite care for our patients. But no, there's not really any such thing as emergency bariatric surgery.
So do you offer non-surgical weight loss options as well, such as like nutrition or exercise?
Sure. We have a program where our nutritionists will work with our patients, our psychologists will work with our patients to try to help them as much as possible. Unfortunately, the data is fairly clear regarding non-surgical weight loss and the long-term possibility of it being helpful. It's very unlikely.
So you can't just tell people exercise your way out of this. There's actually something more going on.
Well, a lot of the time the patients will come to me and say, can you just give me the bariatric diet and I'll just follow the diet that your patients follow after the surgery and then I'll lose the weight just like your patients. And unfortunately, that very infrequently is of use. The surgeries themselves cause two main effects that our patients experience. One is a dramatically decreased appetite, which our patients find very helpful to weight loss. And number two, a dramatically increased of satiety or fullness surrounding when they eat. So if you add those two experiences up for the patients, it results in a massive weight loss.
Oh, wow. So what are the risks of bariatric surgery?
Sure. The risks of bariatric surgery, I compare very much to any other major elective abdominal surgery. And I'd mentioned earlier that I do remove gallbladders. Mm-hmm. So that would be one example. Of the comparable risk profile, or for example, in females having the uterus removed, which is called a hysterectomy. So those are other major abdominal procedures. The risks include the risk of bleeding and infection. And for any major abdominal operation, including bariatric surgery, we see that less than 5% of the time, as well as a variety of other risks related to just having surgery in general, cardiovascular risk, etc. Death is certainly a possibility when a person has any kind of a major surgical procedure. That's extremely rare. That's less than 1 in 1,000. And at the end of the day, I think it's important that each patient individually compare the risk-benefit profile of pursuing this with a doctor.
Yeah, interesting. So is there only certain age groups that can access this type of care?
Well, in my own personal experience, I've operated on people as young as 11 for bariatric surgery.
Wow.
But at DePere Hospital right now, we do have a lower limit of 18 years old due to the constraints of our pediatric services. But that being said, the upper limit is the other question I commonly get asked about. The oldest patient I've operated on is 74 chronologic years old. But what I always tell folks is it's really more based on your physiologic age, your functional age. Uh-huh. And so I've certainly met patients in their 60s who wouldn't be candidates based on functionality. And I've certainly obviously met people in their 70s who would be candidates based on their functionality.
So that's interesting. So the youngest patient you worked on was 11 years old. Is there something to look out for when you're 11 that you would a reason for needing the surgery? Was it causing significant health issues? I'm assuming.
Sure. Well, the very interestingly, the biggest reason I've seen in younger people pursuing the surgery is social, really. This was very specifically, this young gentleman was an 11-year-old who weighed over 400 pounds. He certainly was facing many medical problems. He actually had adult onset diabetes, which from a medical standpoint is quite concerning to see an 11-year-old. But when I spoke to him, the biggest concern he had was fitting in with the other kids, riding a bike, basic 11-year-old concerns. And with the surgery, we were able to, within 6 to 12 months time, he was riding a bike. So, I mean, I think there are a variety of different psychosocial, behavioral, medical aspects to this procedure. It's not
interesting.
It's not purely just a medical, you know, let's just get rid of diabetes type of thing.
Oh.
Yeah, I think something that kind of came to mind was, is do they still do the surgery as like in the past, did they do a stomach stapling or something like that? Wasn't there like a procedure where they did stomach stapling and then it wasn't really working out very well for people, or people were getting bleeding from it if they overate or something like that? Do you remember anything like that, or am I just pulling that from?
No. You know, the evolution of bariatric surgery, I explained to folks, is very much like the evolution of any other technical field. You know, in the early 1900s, people were driving Model T jalopies, and today we're driving a Tesla electric car. So the bariatric surgery has certainly evolved in the same way. Some of the original bariatric operations, which, as you mentioned, do include quote unquote stomach stapling, weren't as effective mechanically and created mechanical problems. The procedures we have today, though, do seem to have withstood the test of a fair amount of time, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of patients' data, and seem to be quite both safe and effective.
So it sounds like they've really improved over the years.
Absolutely.
What are some of the misconceptions about being overweight?
Well, you know, I think in this day and age, some of the issues medically are that it may not affect your health in an adverse way. There's absolutely no question obesity certainly affects people's health. And when we look very carefully, even at patients who are quote unquote otherwise healthy, who are severely overweight, we can definitely see some metabolic abnormalities. And so overweight definitely decreases life expectancy. The best example of that I could share with you would be if you've ever gone to buy life insurance and you're severely overweight, you'll either not be a candidate or your rates will be substantially higher. So, well, and that's not an accident.
Yeah, interesting. So, go ahead.
I just wanted to remind our listeners that they are listening to Webster Groves Health Radio on KWRH LP with Matt Factor and David Factor of Factor Physical Therapy. And our guest is Dr. Howard Lederer.
Yeah, so what I was wondering was, do people need plastic surgery after having bariatric procedures done?
Sure, that's an excellent question. About a third of my patients end up with enough extra skin tissue at the bottom of their abdomen to require plastic surgery. And by require, I mean they have enough extra tissue that it's causing infection, back pain, mobility issues. About two-thirds of our patients actually who have bariatric surgery end up not having enough extra tissue that it's an issue. I certainly offer my patients skin removal and utilize their insurance to do it in the cases of patients who certainly need it.
Oh, that's terrific. So you can do the procedure. Can you do that procedure again later? So you're going in and you're performing it yourself. You don't have to see a plastic surgeon or something like that?
That's correct. And I certainly leave that up to the choice of the patients, but I see that as part of the service that I offer.
Yeah, outstanding.
So you mentioned before about not doing like surgery just to do, I guess, get rid of diabetes or reverse it. Does it reverse diabetes?
Yeah, interestingly, bariatric surgery is the only option in the medical armamentarium today that actually has been shown to cure diabetes, type 2 diabetes, wow. Adult onset diabetes. We have a tremendous amount of data that's come out in the last 10-15 years that clearly indicates that the only real solution to the cure of type 2 diabetes in the obese is bariatric surgery.
Wow. And so that, I guess it's easy to extrapolate from there that people probably live longer than 2 after having it.
Our data in the bariatric world has very clearly been shown to increase life expectancy in our patient population anywhere from 10 to 20 years.
Wow, wonderful. So before you kind of talked about people come in off the street and then they say, hey, give me the bariatric diet. Can you tell us, like, there's so many diet fads, right?
Sure.
So everything from what, the Atkins diet to low carb diet to, you know, primitive eating and, you know, high fat, low protein or high protein, low fat and whatever else they're doing, right?
Right.
So what can you kind of tell us about that and kind of guide people?
Sure. So, you know, from and following diets from a medical standpoint for over 20 years now, I've seen things really come full circle. When I first went into medicine, the aim was these food pyramids, and the base of these food pyramids initially when I first went in was fat. Now the base of the food pyramid has changed to protein, actually. So it has changed over time. The current recommendations are a protein-based diet with certainly some fat in it, some carbohydrate, some fiber. But the basis is protein. So it's certainly changed over time. I think the real takeaway message here is a balanced diet, meaning a variety of different foods in moderation is really the way to go. And that really hasn't changed over a long period of time.
So we shouldn't just, I guess, follow the four basic food groups or the food pyramid exactly that we learned in like second grade?
Well, it changes every few years, right. So I'm not sure right. Which one to follow.
So what are the current, I guess, the most advanced techniques that are used in this type of bariatric surgery? I saw on your website that you had a minimally invasive bariatric surgery. What does that involve?
Sure. So I think the differentiation point there for patients is today in the modern era, almost everything is done laparoscopically or through a series of very small thumbnail-sized incisions, usually 4 to 5 thumbnail or fingernail-sized incisions. We're able to do the surgery on the inside identical to the way it used to be done more than 20 years ago, which was through one long, you know, 12-inch incision. So the day and age of open or the long incision bariatric surgery is gone. It's all minimally invasive today.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about just telling people, you know, just try to, I don't know, have discipline, you know, or tell people, I don't know, all of your dieting decisions begin at the grocery store, so be careful what you put in your cart, and if as long as you go ahead and plan out your list appropriately, maybe with the help of a nutritionist or somebody who's knowledgeable with their physician, you know, they can guide themselves to better health. Is that, would you say that rings true in some cases, or would you say that there are just some people who, you know, they got a poor genetic lottery and they're going to be getting the surgery no matter what?
Well, I'm I'm a man of science, and I believe very strongly that the data speaks for itself along that line. And this has been very carefully studied over a long period of time in modern medicine, looking at the effectiveness, both short-term, long-term, of a behavioral approach, which is exactly what you're talking about, which is diet. Eat less, move more, exercise, whatever you want to call it, reduce calorie diets, Atkins, etc. And the data is very clear for people who have 100 pounds or more of weight to lose, almost 100% failure rate by 6 months of behavioral intervention. You know, I do understand obesity is still, even in our society today, is still seen as a discipline issue or a character flaw, etc. That's just not what I've seen empirically in my practice over a long period of time. And that's certainly not what the science seems to indicate. Obesity seems to be a disease very specifically of the modern environment. We are creatures of our environment or our habitat. I certainly don't see obesity as a character disease.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah. So let's say you get a bariatric surgery. What type of precautions after the surgery do you need to follow or anything like that? Do you need to, I'm assuming you can't turn certain ways. You don't want to pull out your stitches or anything like that, but you also have a certain diet.
Sure. There's very limited restrictions on physical activity after the surgery. For the first few weeks, we recommend no heavy lifting more than 20 pounds. But very specifically in the long term, we do recommend our patients to monitor their diets, to monitor their exercise. We do recommend a vitamin regimen for health, and we do help monitor that through blood work. But overall, it's not really limiting in terms of the way I think that the myth of it all might be is that it limits your options. Bariatric surgery actually gives our patients a newfound freedom. The biggest regret that our patients really have in terms of bariatric surgery long-term is that they didn't do it sooner.
Oh, very interesting. So I have a little bit of a question. So there's some research that talks about time-restricted feeding, and I was kind of wondering if you had come across some of that research there. I guess the theory is that I guess in our microbiome, since we're diurnal creatures, that our microbiome is active during this certain time, and then if we only feed it during these certain windows, then we end up, you know, and with better health possibly, or, you know, what have you heard about that, or have you looked into it?
Sure. I've actually taken a bit of an interest in the microbiome data and the research that is out there. It is quite fascinating, and you're right, there are studies out there indicating that the time of day that we do certain activities is certainly an issue. What I've been even more interested in is looking at some studies looking at brief periods of fasting for periods of time, and that sort of, you know, if you look back to some of these paleo diets, etc., they talk about brief periods of fasting in it. And so all this is very fascinating and interesting work, and I think ultimately 20 years down the road, those will be the kinds of things that we're going to be talking about much more than surgical options. But for today, I don't see anything on the immediate horizon to help our patients,
right,
other than the surgical options.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So can you give us some testimonials or some success stories? Tell us a little bit about, you know, how what it's like from your end, seeing people at the beginning and then seeing them at the end.
Sure. Well, I'll give you our typical patient population, which is probably around 70 or 80% are female. Body mass index is usually in the 40s, mid to high 40s is what we've been seeing. So that's usually about 110, 120 pounds overweight. And our patient's age is typically somewhere in the 40s as well. So for a typical patient, they would likely have some medical problems. They may have some high blood pressure. They may have some high cholesterol. We would offer a patient of that nature the surgery, and then within a year, they'd be 80 to 100 pounds down off of their medications. Wow. For blood pressure and cholesterol, and enjoying their new life with decades to look forward to of health.
Wonderful.
Wow, yeah, that is great. So how can people find you online?
Sure. We're at pmsbariatrics.com, and the office number is 314-238-8858.
8858. And so that's great. So I really wanted to thank you for coming. It was really great, and really I think it helps people to understand the condition a little bit better and not you know, see it more as a health problem scientifically and not necessarily a behavioral problem or a discipline problem.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity. It's my privilege. Thank you.
All right. I would like to thank Dr. Howard Letter, who is the general and bariatric surgeon at Premier Medical Specialists, for coming and talking with us about his practice. We'd like to thank our listeners for joining us for Webster Groves Health Radio. Join us for upcoming shows on Wednesdays at 9:30 a.m. and Thursdays at 2:30 p.m.